So,
action.
Hello.
You're hello.
We're back.
Yay. What are we called?
Bliss Singleness Podcast.
Yes.
And who, I don't know, I just thought that was like a cheer. Like, what are we called? When, what do we mean?
Business.
Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
It's not the best. I think we should have rehearsed that.
That next time. Been wise. We'll do next time.
Give me an M. M. You got your M. You got your M. Give me a C. C. You got your C. You got your C.
What is spelling? What is this? McClintock?
Meredith Cherry.
Oh, of course we never got to J.
Because you had to interrupt me. We would have gotten there.
We've got your J. You got your J. I just wanted to make sure I didn't get left out.
So we're Meredith Charity and Jerry.
Jerry, I'm here.
Yeah,
we're all here. Know. And you're here, and we're very grateful for that. Thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you.
This is our theme song.
I don't know if she had to record it first.
Oh.
Okay. Hit it.
Right?
This is our theme song.
Well, bless.
You're so talented.
Okay, we're going to start with the prayer.
Sorry, I'm going to pray.
Don't be sorry you're going
to
pray.
Just no. Pray. I'm sorry that I paused. I'm excited to pray.
Just to make it today.
Lord Jesus, thank you so much for laughter that we can come together and we can talk about you and we can praise you and rejoice in your name, but we get to have fun and enjoy doing it. Help us to guide this conversation into the direction that you want us to go, that we have a conversation focused on you, focused on the life that you've given us, praising you and thanking you for everything that you've done. In your precious and holy son's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so I'm going to ask the question, and I'm pretty excited because this is episode like 9 or 10, and I've not yet asked the question. So
whoa.
I know. I need to make sure
it's
I do this
right. It's time to step up, Charity.
Yeah,
Meredith and I have just carried the whole show.
We worked so hard.
I have been slacking, but I'm stepping up now, guys.
Okay,
I'm here.
Good.
I'm present, and the question is, how do you love people who are hard to love or like?
That's not the right
That's
question.
That's not the question.
This is why she doesn't get to ask a question.
I knew it was gonna happen.
But that's a topic you can look forward
to be continued on that subject.
Pretend you never heard that and you're surprised when you hear that on another episode.
Yes.
Make sure this is the right one?
Yes.
Okay, let's try.
It was just like a preview.
Yeah. I'm used to multiple takes in these things. I'm an actress, you know, so here's take two.
Action. Life doesn't get a take two, Charity.
Well, here we go. I know, I'm nervous. How can we love others and guard our hearts?
Okay, so I have a little story to share that kind of goes along with this question. So I have someone that is really close to me, and she actually, at the company that she works at, they have had a contractor come in, and it's someone that she's very attracted to and really, really likes the guy, but the Lord really laid him heavy on her heart. And one of the things that he guided her to pray was, Lord, remove me and my feelings from the situation. And God actually brought about this incredible conversation to where he shared a lot of his life and what has been, and the really hard struggles that he's had recently, and the fact that he is seeking God. And she was able to be someone who was able to sit there and to listen to him and to give him some of the wisdom and the words that God poured into her heart in that conversation. And so I think that any time that we have an attraction to someone that is in our lives, sometimes that can be very, very difficult to separate yourself from that.
Yeah.
And I know that I've had similar circumstances to where, you know, because you naturally want to draw closer to this person because you're interested in this person.
And
but
to know them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you also know that until, and especially with this particular story, we do not believe that this guy is actually a believer yet. Mm-hmm. And so especially in that kind of situation, we really have to guard ourselves, I think, even more. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it is interesting. She let this person, who will remain nameless, mm-hmm. that she listened to God. And I think at the end of the day, that's what we have to do as far as loving on others and guarding our hearts, is we listen to God and we listen to what he prompts us to do. He's not going to prompt us to do something that we shouldn't be doing.
Right.
If it's truly from him, if it's truly him guiding us, then it will be a situation where he provides that protection for us, but also that willingness to be open and loving. And I think it does get tricky when you're talking about male and female. So we do have to definitely watch that relationship. And even though both of these people were single, there's still lines that have to be watched and have to be guarded. And I think if we are on, not necessarily on guard in the sense that everything has to be just handled just so strictly and you can't even be friends with the person of the opposite sex. But I do think God prompts us to reach out or to stand back. You know, I think he'll lead either way. You know, if this person wasn't supposed to be praying over this other person and was supposed to be not in this situation, I don't think God would have provided an opportunity to pray over them, to lean into them, and also provided the protection on her own heart to keep her from bleeding too much into that, being led by her feelings versus being led by recognizing a child of God needed someone to lean on and to be understanding.
I feel like my background is coming at it from almost the opposite perspective, because I think I was raised in more of the environment where we were so strict and locked off to where it made it uncomfortable for me to even have friendships with guys. Mm-hmm. And that was something I didn't realize until later in life. Like, in college, one of my best friend's boyfriend's fiance, now husband, he took the time to sit and get to know me. And at that one point, I felt comfortable enough around him to where I let my walls down. I didn't realize how reserved I was around guys until he made the comment, like, something to the effect of, I had to work to get to know Charity, which isn't a bad thing necessarily, because there is a good protection there. But I have realized in my own personal life, as well as in my acting, and acting actually is what brought this to my attention, is that I have trouble allowing myself to be vulnerable. Not with my girlfriends, like with you guys, I'm an open book and it's fine, but in almost every other walk of life, I mean, I know people always feel loved by me and I'm kind to people, but I've had a barrier up in my heart and in my mind that only I ever realized was there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I would engage in conversation but not fully allow myself to be present in that conversation, is because I wasn't allowing myself to be vulnerable enough with them. And in that realization, I realized I wasn't loving them properly. And in not doing that in my acting, I wasn't fully allowing those characters in those moments to be real, because I was still holding back. Yeah. So that was a big realization I came to. But there is also a point, allowing yourself to be vulnerable is terrifying. Mm-hmm. And I've actually shared a lot of my story on this podcast, and that's something I never really imagined I would do. But it's freeing, but there is also a line. You do have to be careful who you're vulnerable with, but you need to not be as guarded as I had been in my past.
And I think that's with all of us. You know, we want to love on other people, not believers, yes, but also non-believers. We want to be Christ-loved all, and we need to do that. But we do have to be protected, and we do have to be mindful. You know, that doesn't mean we have to be closed off. It doesn't mean we have to be necessarily guarded, but we do have to be conscientious of where is a line that we're okay with not getting to, and what is the point where it's too far. You know, we kind of have to kind of make that decision. And I don't know if that's a decision that you pray about, and it with every person it's different. Like, if my line with one person is a little further than it would be with someone else. And I think that's
very true.
I think that's through prayer again. It's, you know, asking for discernment and wisdom, and what do you want my relationship with this person to be? How far do you want me to go with that? Mm-hmm. Is it somewhere that I can recommend someone else stepping in? Mm-hmm. You know, if I can love on someone and help someone and guide them, but then be okay, at this point, I think we've gone as far as we should. We need to welcome someone else into the conversation, or someone else into this situation. Yeah. You know, I think it's just being mindful and prayerful. And I think that's kind of what our whole podcast has been about. Basically, all our decisions that we make are based on prayer and guidance that we get from God. And in order to get that guidance, we have to be actively pursuing him and not getting that guidance. God's always going to give us guidance, but us understanding that guidance and what that means, we have to be mindful and prayerful and just know that lines can easily be crossed, especially when you're dealing with the opposite sex, but that God still is providing friendships. He doesn't just keep us, just like he doesn't want to keep us single and married, like the verses that keep them separate. It's also, you know, we can be friends with the sons of God, you mm-hmm. know, as well. We just kind of have to watch and have guidelines, I think. But
guard our hearts.
Guard our hearts. Mm-hmm. And I think if we're prayerful of it, and maybe this is a naive thought, if we're prayerful of it, then I think it will be an easy line. Like, I think it would be something that's obvious, or I think it's something, and especially for this girl, you know, who had feelings for, it's one thing for you just to distinctly just be friends with someone mm-hmm. and recognize that there's not really a line that you're worried about.
Right.
But for her to be able to have prayerfully entered this and for God to provide her with a way of going, your feelings don't matter right now. They do matter, but in this situation, that's not your focus. That's mm-hmm. not what your main thought needs to be. It needs to be about praying for him and hoping that this person, when he comes and talks to you, this conversation is guided by my direction, you know? Yeah. And I think that is huge. I don't know if I would have had that
yeah.
clarity of thought to go, God, please back mm-hmm. me up. I would have been like, hey, God, could he fall in love with me yeah. while I'm giving him this great advice? Like, I think that's I think that's an yeah. amazing thought that she had.
Yeah.
That's a true testament to what a relationship should be about in the end run, in that you're thinking about the other person more than you're thinking about yeah. yourself.
Right.
And that's kind of across the board. I'm not talking just dating relationships. I'm talking friendships. Like, you really should be thinking what's better for that other person more than you are thinking what's better for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's harder to do when you have feelings for somebody, because that's a big distractor of mm-hmm. that. And that's a hard thing to pray through. But
I also think that maybe God at some point, you know, that worked out for that conversation. But then it could literally mean not just take my feelings out, but take me out. Right. You know, don't let me be the person that they come to, because right. there may be something mm-hmm. that you don't need to be a part of.
Right.
And yeah. I think it's recognizing both situations. You know, she felt very comfortable and very much led, that God was leading her in this conversation. And that was, I think the answered prayer being that her feelings were taken away, but in that moment, yeah. it wasn't about her feelings. It was about that conversation. But then, like I said, it could also be the opposite of, no, you physically need to not be in this conversation, and you need to not be in this environment or whatever with mm-hmm. this person, because you're too vulnerable, you're too susceptible to whatever feelings yes. you have, or they're too susceptible to whatever's going on. But once again, I think it's about praying and about being led and being honest with yourself, too. I think sometimes we kind of want to fool ourselves and be like, it's not a big deal. It's not that, you know, I don't really like him that much, or I don't really care that much. And we just lie to ourselves about the truth of our feelings, or the truth of what it could be to us, what it could mean to us. So it's just being honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And being honest in our conversations with God to say, I'm super attracted to this guy. Mm-hmm. But I know that this should not go any further than our friendship right now, because you have work to do
mm-hmm.
in this person, or you have work to do in me, you know, to where you have to set the boundaries,
yeah,
which, you know, healthy, mm-hmm. healthy boundaries in whatever that relationship may be. And that's so wise, Jerry, to realize that you may not be the person. Like, God's brought this person into your life, but he's really brought you into your life so that then you can introduce them to other people that you know. So, like, yeah. one of the things that's laid really heavy on her heart is the fact that, you know, she wants to get him connected to some strong Christian men that he can lean on and
yeah.
have mm-hmm. some yeah. support there, and to have these conversations with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing.
So,
and she wouldn't have known that if he had not had that conversation to tell her, I'm searching for God. I am mm-hmm. looking for God. And that conversation wouldn't have happened if she hadn't prayed yeah, to say, God,
exactly.
remove my feelings mm-hmm. at this point. I need to have this discussion. This needs to happen. And it's just going to hopefully lead to mm-hmm. relationships that he builds, so that he becomes right. someone in the Lord mm-hmm. that he needs to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Starts with an act of obedience. Mm-hmm. Something as little, quote unquote, it's not, but it's as little as prayer.
Yeah. 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 I mean,
oh my goodness.
Well, it's the power of prayer.
Yeah.
We talk about that too.
Well, and so how do you, because I find myself, because, I mean, I think I'm a little bit where you were, Charity, mm-hmm. as you were kind of explaining about how, you know, acting's kind of brought you out of that some. But I think I am, what's the word? I am super guarded until I know that you are okay.
Trustworthy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. I do feel that I have the gift of discernment, so I can, which, you know, sometimes gets me in trouble because I'm like, maybe that's judgment instead of discernment.
Discernment's a nice term.
Yeah.
Judgment.
But I also think that I'm someone who I don't love as recklessly as I would like to.
Yeah.
People.
I get that.
And mm-hmm. granted, I mean, I do look at Christ, and he kept a small group mm-hmm. of men very close to
the
him.
Close, yeah.
But when he met someone outside of that group, he met them where they were, and he loved on them right in that moment. And that was a moment that would change their lives from then forward. Now, he's Jesus. I'm just married. But I would love for my heart to be a little more open
yeah.
to where I'm not. But it's that challenge of, but, you know, but I want to guard it against things that God doesn't want me to step into mm-hmm. and relationships that I should be protected from. Mm-hmm. But that is a particular struggle for me because I feel like that I naturally build up walls mm-hmm. because of that.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a balance in, or is there even a way to love someone and lovingly treat them well and still keep your heart guarded? Because does the Bible talk about guarding your heart?
It does.
Yeah, it does. I
it
mean,
does. It
and
says
so,
to guard your
so
heart.
That is, it yeah. is something that we are to do.
It's
but
a thing.
Also love your neighbor as
yes,
yourself.
Yeah.
And I'll love yes. myself. You know? You know? And so that it is almost like a oxymoron to say guard your heart but also love your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
so it's trying right. how do you lovingly treat someone just welcoming and loving without leaving yourself wide mm-hmm. open to them tearing you apart, especially if you don't know them, or if you do know them and you know they will tear your heart apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I'm someone who I've actually learned in the last several years that I have to set boundaries because I am a people pleaser through and through. And so I will just let you abuse me mm-hmm. with to a point to where it is tremendously unhealthy.
Yeah.
You know, and so I have had to learn, okay, well, and granted, I mean, it's more so with, I think, those you set kind of as you get deeper into a relationship with someone, but, you know, whether that's friendship or otherwise. But, yeah, but it's just, it is, and like I say, I try to look at Christ as the example of the fact that he always went away in quiet. He always got his strength from God. He always spent time with him. And he would flee from crowds and, you know, not get too overwhelmed by the demands of what people wanted from him. So I wonder if that was a way that he guarded his heart, was that he spent that quiet time with the Father and didn't allow himself to get swept up in the mobs and the chaos of what was following him everywhere. But yeah, I mean, that's such a challenging thing to do. And just as we've talked about in other episodes, you don't want to get to a point to where it's just all about self-preservation and you're, you know, guarding mm-hmm. yourself. You know, because one of the things, just like what you were talking about, of that we need to be vulnerable mm-hmm. with people, is that we need to expect that life hurts.
Yeah.
And we can't guard ourselves. And it's like me, it's like sometimes, like, I hate to hear horrible, sad stories about, like, I just had a young man come up to me in the Kroger parking lot, or in a grocery parking lot. I just had a young man come up to me in the parking lot at the grocery store, and he was telling me how he and his wife and his 3-year-old little boy were homeless, and he asked for my help. And, you know, in that moment, the Spirit moved me, and so I helped him and his family, which, you know, I'm like, anyways, because I feel bad that I just shared that. But
why?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't want that to sound like...
I think we're kind of the same. Sometimes we're not willing to... We're so easy to believe not the best in people sometimes.
Yeah.
And so we're always a little skeptical. And so I think that story shows that when God prompts you, mm-hmm. it's always the right decision.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, if God prompts you to do something, regardless of how that's going to play out, mm-hmm. I think it's always the right choice to follow that prompting.
Yeah.
You know, and it may hurt a little bit, like it, not obviously not in that situation, but you know, in other situations, if we're prompted by God to do something, it may hurt us somehow. I don't know how. There
right.
could be something in the relationship that does end up hurting, because
right.
at the end of the day, you're talking about a relationship with another human,
mm-hmm.
regardless what that is, a friendship,
yeah.
a relationship, spouse, sister, whatever. That person is going to let you down. It's going to hurt at some point. So to try and guard your heart against everybody
mm-hmm.
is going to be exhausting. Mm-hmm. It's going to be isolating.
Mm-hmm.
So when God does prompt you to do that, I think it's always going to be rewarding,
right.
you know, and that you always should follow that.
Right.
And even if it's questionable, even if it's something that maybe you wouldn't normally do, if it's out of your, you know, norm, it's going to be worthwhile.
Right. Right.
Regardless of what that situation is.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a hard balance too, because I'm someone who if something horrible has happened in the news, I will just upset, you know, or in the past, this is what I've done. I've actually gotten a lot healthier about it, but just obsess over that horrible thing that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And my younger sister is always watching like horrific documentaries. And then she's worked with the homeless in the past and with prisoners in the past. And so, she has horrific stories. And sometimes I want to guard myself from, because I get that I live in a very insulated world a lot of times, to where there's stuff going on
right.
that I have no comprehension of, that I
mm-hmm.
have no idea of. But I have to know, like, just with that man that approached me and he shared his story with me, is the fact that sometimes God invites us into other sufferings,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and that we shouldn't guard our hearts against that.
Yeah.
That we should be open
mm-hmm.
to hearing and to sharing in their pain
mm-hmm.
and to helping in whatever way God prompts us.
Mm-hmm.
But also knowing that, yeah, this life is really hard, and it's a lot harder for some people than it is for others.
Yeah. Well, and talking about Christ and having other people, you know, being invited into their pain and experiencing their pain. I mean, you have the story of Lazarus, who he knew what he was going to do. He
mm-hmm.
knew that it was going to be okay, but yet he still wept. He still
mm-hmm.
was with him in their pain. He was still open to them. But I think, I mean, obviously, once again, if Christ did it, it's probably was probably an invitation for the rest of us to try and join that situation too, that even though it's going to hurt, we still have to open ourselves up to that,
mm-hmm.
you know,
and grieve with others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And feel their suffering and their pain.
But not be overwhelmed by it.
Right.
So yes. It's back to the whole, you love them, but you still got to guard yourself
yeah.
against it. You
that's
know, because,
so true.
Because you're going to, there's going to be pain and heartbreak in this world.
Yeah.
And you're going to experience it.
Right.
And so it's good for you to be there for someone else who's experiencing it, but you can't
right.
drown in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I had gotten to the point to where I was such the bleeding heart that it made me immobile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like, there's so much, I can't take it all in. There's nothing I can do. So I'm just going to sit here and not do anything.
Yeah.
And not help anyone mm-hmm. and not be there for anyone. And
oh,
so
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
My mom is so good about seeing a need and then practically understanding what needs to happen.
Mm.
So, you know,
and I'll just sit there and cry about it.
Exactly. You know, she'd gone
so
to
awful.
The she'd gone to a boy's home and noticed that they needed milk and orange juice, and she started delivering milk and orange juice.
Mm.
Something as simple as that.
I love that.
Delivered stockings to the soldiers. And all I do is like what Meredith said, I just sit there like, what is such a sad story? And she's just like, no. We gotta get it done. And I'm like, okay. You know, and
I love it.
I
yeah.
think it's good. I think you do need both balance. I think you need the
I
people
agree.
Who sympathize, but also who
mm-hmm.
get action done.
Yes.
So.
Well, that's part of the body of Christ, too. We've
yeah.
all got our different giftings.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
you guys will sit and cry with someone, and someone like your sister and your mom will go out and practically take care of
yeah.
the needs that need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the other thing, too, I think we're also the ones that are going to give, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have her sister and my mom who provide an opportunity because
yeah,
uh-huh. we go, our hearts are broken. We don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, here's an opportunity.
Yeah.
How can you help? And that, it
yeah.
does help all of
that's
us.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
So do you think that within singles ministry or within just our relationships with other single brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, especially brothers. I mean, come on. Like, let's talk about, or, you know, for you brothers, us sisters. You know, but the whole idea of that we do love on each other in Christ, but there are healthy boundaries.
Yeah.
And that we need to all be setting our hearts on Christ and on things above. Mm-hmm. And if God leads a relationship out of that, then that's a wonderful thing. But we should guard our hearts with each other. And Christian men should love on Christian men. And Christian women should mm-hmm. love on Christian women. I mean, we love on each other, too. But just...
But just love everybody. Okay, here's the thing. Just love everybody. Just
love everybody. But guard
your heart. But also guard your heart. So basically, simple. What we've come back to is we don't know how to do that, but we try.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah. But that's also, I think, why we... None of us are doctors. None of us are psychologists.
We're not?
Yeah. We're not even pastors. We're not here to necessarily... answer things.
No.
We're kind of here because we want to start this conversation, because yeah. we want to have this conversation, because it is important for us to love on each other and to be mm-hmm. a part, and especially I think as we get older, to find people in our lives that we can connect with, whether they be single or they're married. We want to build those relationships, but we also have to be careful, and we yeah. also have to respect boundaries that Christ wants us to respect mm-hmm. and figure out what those boundaries are, mm-hmm. you know?
And I also wonder, like, with the conversation that we have with Philip, which again, you should listen to if you have not, but the whole idea that, you know, we as women in the church, like our job in terms of loving on men in the church is that we are their sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's their responsibility to
pursue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now we segue into our sharing corner.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.
I, Charity, am going to share a little tidbit, a little nugget.
Hello.
What I have been learning lately in my life. We mentioned this, I think, in the episode where we had Liz on, because I think, Jerry, you had said something about Charity's so busy, I don't know how she manages it. And I'm like, I'm not managing it very well. I am that Mary Martha scenario. I'm Martha through and through. I'm like, go, 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 get stuff done, be busy all the time. And I have been forced to stop lately and to breathe. And I've been so busy that it's also squeezed out the time that I'm consistently having with the Lord, which is not okay. You know, and God's been on me for a while, prompting me to stop and have time with him. But I keep thinking I'm slowing down enough to do it, but I keep finding a week gone by and I've only spent time with him like twice. And he has graciously allowed me to be physically ill for 4 or 5 months, like chronically, one thing after another, to the point where I literally this week had to take my first ever staycation. Like, I took a week off of work. I spent the whole week here at home, resting, working on being healthy, and beginning again to start to have time with the Lord. And it's just, it's like a breath of fresh air. Like, I feel like I'm just getting started, but I mm-hmm. can't wait to see what God's going to start pouring into me as I am finally, again, consistently being in his word. But it's, I guess what I'm trying to share is, it's good to work hard. You know, it's a very good thing. But finding balance in that is so important, because rest and time with the Lord are very valuable things. Time with the Lord being the most valuable, mm-hmm. obviously. There was something that Pastor Mike from your church said, because I still listen to his sermons on podcasts, even though I don't go to that church anymore. But he, in one of his recent sermons, said, the cure for burnout is not rest. The cure for burnout is worship. And I love that. And that has to be my new mantra. But so guys, work hard, but rest, and rest in Jesus. And that's what I wanted to share.
Amen. And God bless. Hey guys, we'd love for you to join in on the conversation with any discussion points or questions you might have. So follow us on Instagram, BS_podcast, or like us on Facebook, Blessed Singleness Podcast. See you later.
I don't know. I feel like I have to say something.
You don't have to say something. But it makes me nervous. Can you cut that last part out?
No, I love it so much. It's staying in forever.